The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick 'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, NHL, MMA, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com. Use promo code NBASGPN. That's NBASGPN to get a 100% deposit match on your first deposit up to $100. Yes, sir. We are back with another edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast on Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Don't mean no, the voice of a guy. It's me, really, bro. Villain, bro. It's Ralph from Jing here at your service. And over the course of the weekend, we saw the Lakers fight off elimination. We saw the Suns go ahead and get an express ticket over to Cancun. We saw the Pelicans go ahead and have their flights booked to Galveston, Texas. We still don't have a series in that Cavs Magic series. That's still not a series yet. Nobody won on the road. We're still waiting for that one to become a series. Clippers and Mavs, everything is expected to be, except, you know, the part where Kawhi Leonard actually sabotages the team. And then I have no idea at all what the Bucks are planning on doing at all whatsoever. This is actually pretty, pretty bad. And to end things off, I understand where the 76ers are at right now. I understand the things that I said about the 76ers. I also understand what this means for the team that I actually care about between these two teams. So we're not going to say anything else. Nobody say anything. Just let it ride. Do not say anything. I'm not changing anything up. I'm not ruining this. Just we're all on the same page here. As long as we're all on the same page. Scott Studio Rochelle. Scott, what's going on?
Scotty, beam me up.
Yeah, doing pretty well. A pretty fun set of games yesterday. The Clippers almost blew a 31-point lead. Technically, they did. And then Harden saved their asses with that fourth quarter performance. Paul George, though, had a big three in the corner. But Harden turned back the clock. He looked incredible. Probably earned himself a lot of money with that max contract coming up from that game four performance. Knicks had a nice win. Embiid no-showed the fourth based on fatigue, maybe, but Brunson was phenomenal. So shout out to Brunson. And Josh Hart with 17 rebounds, I think. It was either 16 or 17, but he was great. And Anobi was great. Great defensive effort. Gave up 16 points in the fourth quarter. Looking at the actual, I think, main takeaway from yesterday's games was just the Suns once again getting eliminated, forming one of the worst big threes of all time. Ant completely took their soul, if you want to put it that way. But yeah, Cat was very good. Ant was very good. And the Suns at the end of the day were given 80 plus points by Durant and Booker combined. And they still lost by mostly because of I'll Be Damned Man, who was really bad yesterday. Beal was atrocious yesterday. Besides the fouling out, besides the six turnovers, he was just abysmal the entire game. And with Grayson Allen being out, they had no actual shooting guard depth. They were using Eric Gordon, who's also terrible. Okogie was playing a bit. They didn't have many other guys, but when Booker gives you 49 and Durant gives you 30 plus, I know he kind of no-showed the last couple of minutes there in the fourth quarter. Damn, you got to win that game. Good for Minnesota, though. They got swept by this team in the regular season. They came out and they smacked this team in the playoffs 4-0. And we'll see potentially who they're going to play against in the next round if Denver gets it done tonight, or maybe they're going to have a couple extra days off if the Lakers end up winning this game on Monday. Props to Anthony Edwards, props to Minnesota. People rose to the Gobert trade, myself included, and they swept the playoff series. First playoff series win, I believe, since 2004. So congrats to Minnesota. Good for them. And as for the Suns, the team's absolutely screwed. Vogel's probably going to be the scapegoat, but this team has a lot of problems with Beal's contract for the next few years.
KD's gone by the summertime.
That's my point, though. The Suns are screwed. They don't even have their own picks. The Nets have their picks. I'm actually thrilled about this.
I'm pretty sure Bradley Beal has a no-trade clause as well, but I think it's also hilarious that you know, KD just hasn't found that right fit since Draymond, man. Draymond, who knew Draymond was the best fit for him? He's worried about fit, what works. Playing with Draymond was the best fit for you, man. Trying to tell you. All right. Playoffs are here. And you got to tune into the NBA and NHL gambling podcast all week to get all of your playoff action. I mean, we have it. Talon, Joel, they have it over there. Like, oh, it is Derby week. I mean, are you excited for the greatest 2 minutes in sports ever? That's it. 2 minutes. That's it, Scott. No more, no less. It's just 2 minutes. I got to look and see who I'm backing today. Who's the long shot? I'm taking a long shot. I'm taking the longest bet in the Derby.
And I actually haven't even looked at the Derby odds yet.
I'm taking the longest shot. I am. All right. Derby week. Make sure you tap into the Sports Gambling Podcast. They're going to have a Derby episode this weekend. Make sure you get all the cool bets from those guys across the pond. I got to go hit up Malcolm, my guy Malcolm. Malcolm's going to get me right with the ponies. So absolutely make sure you lock in with Chase, Malcolm, and everybody that's going to be betting the Derby this week over at Sports Gambling Podcast. All right. Three games on the slate. First game up on the docket, 7:30 p.m. on the East Coast. The Boston Celtics are taking on the Miami Heat in the fourth game of their series. 2-1 is the total for Boston right now. They blew the Heat out on Saturday at home. And now
that was in Miami, actually. That was on the road.
Oh, well, I meant, yeah, at Heat at home, my bad. So, yes, they blew them out in Miami. Looky here, we have DeLon Wright, who did not play in that game. Probable playing this one. No Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier. And for the Celtics, clean injury report, not no report. Celtics land 10.5 here. 203.5 is the total. Let's play a game. Who's on the call tonight?
Scott Foster might be. Either he's going express to Denver or he has the night off because he was trying to extend the Sun series and he failed. He tried his best.
He for sure has the night off. He has the night off.
Free throw attempts, he tried his best out there, but the Suns just couldn't handle it. So the extender failed yesterday. He's going to try to regroup and maybe he'll extend the series in a couple days. I'd be shocked if he got the Denver assignment, though.
No, he definitely doesn't have the Denver assignment, but... For today, we have John Goble as the lead crew chief for the Boston and Heat game. 15-10 to the home team ATS, 11-14 over under. We have Courtney Kirkland as the referee as well. 22-31-2 to the home team, 30-25 to the over. And we have Mitchell Irvin as the last ref, 27-35-1 to the home team, 35-28 to the over this season. All right, Scott. 10.5, Boston. I feel like I know which way you're going, but you could surprise me. What you doing here?
The series is just annoying in itself because I like how the Celtics fans started to gloat after dominating game three. And it's like, no, it's even funnier because how the hell did you lose a game to this team? The Celtics should kill this team every time they play because the Heat aren't that talented. Just simply put, you're looking at Hero and Bam, who basically have to carry the entire team. Yes, they got hot from three once. That can happen in the NBA, but we saw it in game three. The Celtics got more aggressive with the on-ball pressure. And the Heat don't have any offensive weapons, or they really don't have much. They don't have any real point guard. Rozier's neck is still bothering him. He's going to be out probably the rest of the series, so hopefully he's okay. Neck issues can be a bit of a serious problem if you're not careful. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to lean Boston. I know that's the way you thought I was going to lean, because I just think they're significantly more talented. It really comes down to just mental focus. If the Celtics actually care enough and they're fully focused for a game, big if. But if they are, they should win every game by 15-plus points. They really should. They're better in every area. The Heat really are not great offensively. And we saw that last game when they started off terribly. They scored 80 points and change. The team can't score unless they get super hot from three. So with the exception of a historic performance from the Heat from behind the arc in game two, they've gotten killed in all these games. in the series. I'm going to lean Boston. I prefer the wire to wire, though, at like minus 112 for them to lead after every quarter. I think that's a better option because Boston might have some fourth quarter no-show spots where Miami can sneak through the back door like they almost did in game one. But I think I'll just take Celtics wire to wire. Yes, I know Miami will make some adjustments. Kevin Love said that they're going to have a much better game plan. We'll see what happens. But I do think Miami is clearly inferior in terms of talent. And if Boston even looks somewhat engaged early on, they should be up double digits at halftime. So I'll take the Celtics minus the 10.5. Prefer the wire to wire. If Miami and Spo have some devil magic left and they end up making this game interesting, good for the Heat. But I have to go based on what I've seen on paper and what I've seen when the Celtics fully engage themselves defensively. The Heat can't do anything offensively. So I'll go with the Celtics to get the job done.
Okay.
And they're going to take the Heat anyway. But
so there's a lot of things you said there. A lot of things that make sense. I think that it's all about perspective. You have the perspective of when this team, like, you're going to see it on paper. You want to see it on paper when this team locks in. They're one of the best teams on the road. They should win this by 15. Yes, understood that. I choose to look at it as they've shown us time and time again that they do not prove that they are the best team, that they do not take these games serious, and that they bullshit time and time over again. When we look at the last game they won, the Heat came out there, won that first quarter, and that was all she wrote from there. They just consistently put their foot on the necks of the Boston Celtics because Boston let them. Boston has said, hey, if you make this many threes, of course, anybody's going to win this game. Well, you let them attempt that many, and you gave them open looks on about 60% of them. So, I mean, I'm going to hit a bunch of my threes, too, if you're giving out free open looks to NBA players like that. So this team doesn't they don't take this situation serious. We've seen this situation time and time again where, yeah, they should blow it out. They should be able to go ahead and get this done. But I don't believe it. I think that the Heat have something more to say. I think the adjustments from Spoelstra are going to come in where Bam, who's been good all series, and I have no idea why his points prop is at 19.5 today. I think he's going to have a big game. I think Caleb Martin's going to come back and have a bounce back game. He's going to do good, and they're going to get those role player, that role player Heat game at home that's going to keep them in this game. Now, does Boston in a closeout situation because they have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and that on paper should mean that they're going to be really good on the fourth quarter and they're going to have, you know, the best opportunity to win a close game late? Possibly. I just choose to believe that they're going to fold. So
that's, yeah, fair. It's kind of weird because I actually feel better about laying a big spread with the Celtics on the road than at home. Because historically, for the last couple of years, they've been so bad at home, even just winning games outright.
The Hawks close out game five where Trae Young hit that big. Actually, I still got the shot.
DeJounte got suspended.
I'm pretty sure I still got the shot here.
DeJounte got suspended in that game.
And Hunter. And here's Young. Backtracks. 5-2. Young lets it go.
So you know what? Maybe Boston actually does win this game so that they can blow a game five at home.
Yeah,
maybe Boston actually.
I really do feel better about Boston on the road than at home. I don't know what it is. This team was so good at home in the regular season for the last couple of years. They just can't win home playoff games. I don't know what the story is, but on the road, they tend to give good efforts. I don't know what it is. But at the end of the day, you might be right. Maybe the Celtics no-show Mazzulla's an idiot, so we'll see if he potentially has a bad game plan again. But from what I saw in game three, Miami offensively is as bad as I thought they were. Like, they really don't have any ball handlers on the court. They were able to make a bunch of three-pointers, make the game extremely high-scoring for their standards because they scored a bunch of points. But, yeah, I'm going to lean Boston. I just think unless Miami goes crazy from three, I don't think they really have a plan B offensively. So I'll go with Boston.
All right, let's see here. Chat's booming. Chat's going. Kevin Nash is in the chat. Shout out to Kevin Nash. Wolfpack. Shot Kevin Nash. All right. Kaysen says if you're taking Heat, might as well take money line. It's either a win or a blowout. I understand that. And it was like, is there a worse coach left in the playoffs than Joe Mazzulla?
I gotta think about that one.
Darvin Ham?
Probably. Yeah.
That's pretty close.
I think Ham would be worse.
I think that's close.
I think Ham's worse.
I don't know, but Mazzulla has a squad and he's doing this. But like, yeah, they still won 64 games.
You're not wrong, but I don't think Mazzulla would have played Vincent with Dinwiddie to start a fourth quarter down 2-0 in a series. So I don't.
You don't?
I actually don't.
Oh, so he just plays the starters and gives them no direction? He just plays the starters and gives them no direction.
Yeah, pretty much. He doesn't call timeouts.
He's not bold enough to put them in the start of the fourth quarter.
I don't think he'd be bold enough to do that. Start a quarter? No, but I think Ham's probably worse. I mean, Vogel got eliminated. People are going to hate on Vogel. I care more about the roster than Vogel, to be honest. But, yeah, he's definitely down there. I don't think Missoula's any good, but that's well documented.
Who's more willing to call timeouts?
Between who?
Ham and Mazzulla. Who's more willing to call timeouts?
Ham.
I'll take Ham.
Mazzulla's willing to just let his players go out there thinking he's Dawn Staley and just play 12 minutes straight with no timeouts. But they'll just figure it out themselves.
He be horting them jumps, yo. I know he's like one of those. What's that joint? What's that show on TLC? Yo, what's that show on TLC that used to come on where they used to be horting? Was it Hoarders? Is it called
Hoarders? It's called Hoarders. That's it.
Yeah, he's just sitting there in his room, fat off of timeouts that he saved from the entire season. I have all these timeouts saved up for the playoffs. I can't wait to use them. Oh, man.
No, but he never uses them because if he uses them, then he can't have them anymore.
It's like Sam Presti and his draft
picks. And his draft picks, yeah. It's the same thing.
203.5 is the total. What you doing here?
I think I have to lean under. If I'm picking the Celtics to actually cover, that means I'm picking Miami to score like 85 points. My main argument is that Boston, I don't think offensively is going to be able to drop 110 in change. I'm curious what you think Miami's adjustments are going to be, because Kevin Love was talking about how they're going to have a much better game plan. Is the game plan just going back to make it as ugly as possible? Is that just the plan? Like, I don't know what the plan is at this point. I mean, you're basically asking Spo to be MacGyver. You're trying to build an actual weapon out of a paperclip and some string. Like, you don't have much. Like, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I think I'm going to lean under. I just think actually, that Miami offensively is going to drag the total down.
I actually think that I'm going over 203.5. And it's
that makes sense because you're picking Miami.
Yeah, and it's because I've watched this series, and they have no answer for Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. And if Jason Tatum doesn't have an amazing game, it's probably because Jason Tatum killed himself. So they have no answer there. But also, the Miami Heat, Bam is going to have a good game. I'm waiting for the huge takeoff Bam game where he's got close to 30 points, close to a triple-double. Like, he's doing it on the defensive end, blocks, everything. I'm looking for that type of game from Bam. But then the threes, because they're going to take them. They're going to take the three. They're going to live or die by a three today. And if the threes go in, then they're in this game. If they don't, well, then, yeah, it's going your way, -10.5. Yeah. But they're going to shoot a bunch of threes here. I just think that they're going to make them. So I'm on over 203.5. It's pretty clear for me.
Well, it makes sense, though, that we disagree on every side and total because we think they're quite correlated. So
yeah.
I'm picking Boston to win by a lot. You're picking Miami to potentially win. So you think it's going to be a higher scoring game.
All right. Let's see here. Player props. I saw some questions in the chat earlier. D. Johnson, Haywood, over 7.5 points. Let's look into that a little bit. I see Drewski on Hero over on his points as well. I can understand that he's going to get the opportunity.
You mentioned Bam before. I don't mind Bam at 19.5. It's against Boston.
He's had over 19.5 in all three games in the series. It's Boston. They can't stop centers. It's a pretty easy play. It just, you know, it's hard to take Bam.
He also has to play every minute because he's easily their best player. If you want to include defense, he's easily their best player right now. So.
Let's see. I called Jaylen Brown out a couple of games ago, and he's been having pretty solid games ever since. Like really, 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 really good games. They just really don't have an answer for him, and I don't know how I'm not taking Jaylen Brown here again, especially if I think this is going to be a closer game, and he's going to be playing with intensity all four quarters. He's not going to get benched, anything like that. Like I 21.5 is just criminal. Like with how Jaylen Brown is cooking the Miami Heat and the willingness to just let him cook. I mean, you can go to game one when they blew him out by 20. He still shot 50%. Matter of fact, he has not shot less than 50% from the field this entire series. 50%, 56.5%, 55%. He's not shot less than 50%. When he gets the opportunities, he goes over this. He went over it last game, even in a game that they blew them out by 20. He didn't get over it in the first game, but he still shot 50%, 17 and 8. I'm all over Jaylen Brown today. I think Jaylen Brown's going to have another good game.
Okay. I can get behind that. I see. So my question is, if you think that Brown is a good game, though, does that mean you're considering maybe a Tatum under? Or you?
I wouldn't play the under, but I wouldn't be surprised by it. Okay. Especially if Miami stays in the game, like they, you don't let both of them get off. Like you don't let both of them have truly, truly crazy games. And I think Tatum's points prop is, it's 26.5, so it's 5 points higher. Like. There could be a room for a middle, but I don't want to play it. I'd rather just go ahead and take Jaylen Brown to score.
It's fair. It's always annoying trying to find player props in this game because Miami is, once again, trying to invent stuff out of nothing. So anybody on Miami at any moment could have a good game. So I don't mind the high. I don't mind the angle that we mentioned before or that was brought up before about Bam having a good game. Somebody mentioned Highsmith. I don't mind that either. He had a couple threes in the past couple games, but... I thought about Caleb Martin, but the attempts have not been there. But we think that Caleb Martin might show up when people least expect him. So that could be an option. But it's really just tricky to actually find value on players because I feel like no matter which side I'm looking at, I'm kind of guessing because Miami just has different players step up all the time. And you have to try to guess which ones are going to actually show up on the right day. And Hero's numbers are inflated. Bam's numbers are cheap. So I like Bam. But... yeah, I don't really have much for Miami.
It's Martin.
I think Martin's the guess. At 1.5 threes, it's plus money. The attempts are not in there, but...
I mean, it's really not a guess. He just... He bounces back when he plays his team. It's not. I'm not asking for an all-world game, but 4-21-5. I'm expecting another solid performance. Is he going to have that 21? Maybe not. I'm expecting another solid performance. I think that he's going to take more. They're going to live or die by the three, so he's going to take more attempts than the two attempts that he took last game. And this is essentially, a do-or-die game. You don't want to go down 3-1, even in a series that you don't really have much expectations for. You don't want to go down 3-1. So I think that they're all going to fire. And if he gets the attempts, I think he's going to be good. So Caleb Martin, 10.5 is plus money. You said the threes is plus money. I think Caleb Martin is my play. I think he's going to have a good day. I think Bam is also in for a good day. And I already talked to you about Jaylen Brown. If I were to play Highsmith, I'd probably play the threes for Highsmith.
Yeah. That's how I would play Highsmith, too. I think one other prop I'm tempted by for Boston, it's kind of a niche prop, but it's actually Holiday to get 1.1 steal, or 1.1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, so a quintuple single. It's plus 140 on FanDuel. He's done it in each of the first three games of the series. He's done it in 5 straight games, and even last game, he didn't really do anything points-wise, but he still cashed it. So if you think that Holiday defensively is going to have his imprint on the game, which I do... plus 140 is a good price for something that's happened in 5 straight. So give me a quintuple single, which I think is a FanDuel exclusive market. But give me that for Holiday at plus 140.
I don't even know where to find that.
It's the 1.1 rebound, 1 assist. I think if you just scroll on the main page in the popular tab, it's there.
Oh, in the popular tab, it's still there. Yeah.
But it's plus 140, which I think is appealing.
Let me see. I'm trying to... I want action on this.
Because you like even the prop, you want to look for a different player with
No, I like it. There it is. Boom. I like it. You said Holiday is plus 140. Bam's plus 145.
Yeah. The problem is sometimes the blocks with Bam, because Boston takes so many three-pointers that they don't really attack the rim as much as they should.
Good point.
But... then again, you could argue Miami's going to attempt a bunch of threes. So
Porzingis is minus 210. Does he do this all the time?
I think so.
This is minus 210. Why would you play minus 210 for this? I would definitely play a no option if I saw a no option here. It's minus 210. What?
Yeah.
That's crazy. All right. That is it for that. But it's time to talk to you about Underdog Fantasy, because Underdog is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. And guess what? You can make entries of all basketball. You can have all of NBA action, or you can have some NHL action or some MLB action, golf, MMA, all of that. You can mix and match all sports, and you can win up to 100 times your money. And it's a ton of fun. Underdog's available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They just kicked off their champions player versus player format in Florida. So make sure all the Floridians tap in with Underdog Fantasy. We'll be running an Underdog lineup at the end of the show. So make sure that you tap in at the end of the show, and we will give you that Underdog lineup. Underdog code NBASGPN. That's your promo code NBASGPN. And Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code NBASGPN. Lante in the chat. I was looking at Jovic too. I wasn't looking at PRA, but I was considering Jovic. I was looking.
He's getting threes. Minutes.
I was looking at his threes. He's cashed a couple of times when I bet his threes for me, and this felt like one of the games I wanted to get down on that. -125 for two. Yeah, come on. All right. Oklahoma City Thunder are on the road going to play the New Orleans Pelicans. OKC is up 3-0 in the series. Trying to close it out here tonight. Open up laying 4.5. They're currently laying 5. 206.5 is the total. And it opened at 205 injury report. Jeremiah Robinson Earl is questionable for the Pelicans. No Zion. Clean injury report for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Playing a game here, we have Josh Tiven as the lead crew chief. He is 33-33. Okay, he's 33-33 ATS to the home team, 23-42 over under. We have Bill Kennedy backing him up. Bill Kennedy, 28-33-1 to the home team, 29-32 to the over under. And Ed Malroy, Ed is 32-23-1, 26-31 over under. Three under reps. Interesting here. Three under reps in this game today, Scott. Let me just go ahead and get this out of the way now.
Yeah, if you're not watching this on YouTube, Terrell pulled out a broom. So,
yeah, guys. Sweet.
You know, it's Let's morning.
Go ahead, get them out of here.
Monday. It's never too early to clean around the around your place. You know.
Nope. Because we won't have to worry about them playing. We won't have to worry about the Pelicans anymore. We won't have to worry about the Pelicans anymore. Galveston is going to be – I heard Galveston's lit this time of year. I heard – you know, actually, used to be a really, really big beach party that used to be down there.
I mean, the only water there is bottled, but you can still have a good time.
Oh, man. Hey, don't let Beyonce's mom hear you say that. I don't want her coming for us next.
will forgive us if they bet the Thunder. So
I do not need the Beehive on my neck. You know they be calling people jobs, like Nicki Minaj fans. They be calling people jobs trying to get them fired. Imagine if the Beehive called Sean and Ryan saying that, hey, you should fire these guys. We're talking about Galveston.
To be honest, I think that they might give us a promotion. If we got like the actual like Beehive to start calling and like trying to draw us, I think they'd actually give us a promotion. But who knows?
Oh man, you antagonized the entire fan base here. Here's some more money.
It says here your viewership went up about 800%. Yeah, what'd you do? We roasted Galveston, Texas. The Beehive took over from there. Like, yeah, I think that'd go pretty well for us, actually. Yeah, my thoughts are pretty simple for this one.
How about if you sweep it out?
What's the point? I can't do anything right.
You'll do fine.
Yeah.
Reverse sweep for the Pelicans.
Yeah, I just think it's a sweep, simply put. It's not about the actual losing. It's about the way that they've lost. Game one was a game they probably should have won, and they've no-showed the two games since. They haven't even been competitive in those games. They've been really bad at home recently. I believe they've lost 6 of their last 7 home games, so that hasn't even been pro for this team, playing at home. I don't think it matters. I think Ingram and McCollum are really not good enough to carry this team without Zion. Ingram's been terrible. Dort's been great defensively. Ingram, I don't think, is that great either, but I just think they're a low IQ basketball team. I mentioned this before. Shea's been solid. Chet's been great. And J-Dub's been very solid as well. It just feels like the Thunder are a better team in pretty much every area. The Pelicans have scored less than 93 points in every game. They can't score. Just as simple as that. So I expect the Pelicans to be competitive for a quarter or so. But once OKC goes on a run, I think the Pelicans roll over. So They got blown out. They've been bad at home recently. I don't like their star players. I don't like anything about this team right now. Give me the Thunder. They might win this game by 15, potentially, but I think they win this game by like 10. Give me the Thunder.
Yeah, so I came on here after game one, and I said, I think this is okay series now because that was the best shot that the Pelicans had, and they lost. They blew it at the end of the game. And so the main reason that I was talking about that was the rebound disparity. They out-rebounded them 52-44 in that game and lost. They have not won the rebounding battle since.
Which is embarrassing. But the Thunder have done a better, much better job on the actual glass.
So with the talk of the size and how the size was really going to fuck with OKC, it's been a non-factor.
Yeah.
Outside of game one, it's been a non-factor. And so at this point, I just don't think what do you have for them? I mean, J-Dub went down in the first quarter. The first minute of the first quarter of that game, he went down and he was out. And he came back in the second quarter. In three quarters of play, he went, well, that's better than 50% of the, from the field.
Yeah.
9 for 16, 3 for 4 from three, 21 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists in three quarters.
Had a great game.
In three quarters. He was unstoppable. I just, what is this team, like, what are you supposed to do at this point if you're not going to get a all-star to all-pro level contribution from Brandon Ingram? You're not going to get that from CJ McCollum. What are you supposed to do?
You just lose.
You have no shot.
Trey Murphy doesn't shoot the ball enough. I love Trey Murphy. He needs to shoot more. Alvarado's been terrible this entire series. He forgot how to shoot. So even the bench, which gave him a boost against the Lakers in the play-in game, has been an absolute non-factor in the series as well. I think Marshall's been okay, but you get my point. There's just not much, as you said before. If the only thing you were really elite at in terms of a matchup against OKC was rebounding, just based on size, and you're losing the rebounding battle every game anyway, you're going to get your ass kicked. And it's an effort thing. This team's just gotten destroyed. They've shown no toughness, no resilience. They've shown really just, they just haven't really shown any mental toughness at all in the series. And I see a similar story here. Give me the Thunder. Thunder have also won all three meetings against New Orleans this season on the road by 7-plus points. They've traveled very well to New Orleans. Uh-huh. So give me OKC, 1-2-3 Cancun. The Phoenix Suns have company. So that's how I see it going.
It's 1-2-3 Galveston. Going to Cancun. I'm with Chuck.
You think the Suns got invited to Cancun too?
They low-key. I think they already had their joint planned out before the playoffs started. Like, they already had their tickets, so they got to go. They got to go.
Okay, we'll put it this way. I think the Suns ended up in Cancun, but I think they lost Beal's ticket, and he got stuck on the Pelicans.
Yeah, he's stuck. They have his passport. He didn't have his passport. They took his passport from him. All right, man. I don't know, man. Valanciunas got benched.
I think bench anybody on the team at this point. I'll keep taking unders on Ingram. Maybe he shows up for a game. I'll take my chances. I just think Dort's dominated him this entire series. So
yeah, I mean, the only time he scores is when Dort's not on him. Like, it's literally,
or he just sprints to the line and he gets bailed out.
I think he had like 2 points. I gotta go find it, but I think he had like 2 or 3 points when Dort was guarding him, and it was like one field goal. Like, it wasn't good. All right, total player props.
I like
anything
the under.
Else we have to add?
Pelicans can't score. I can't take an over if I think this team can't score. I wouldn't mind the team total under. It's probably at 100.5. They haven't gotten to 93 yet. Why would I take them to score?
I actually think they're going to score today. I just think it's not going to be enough.
Right.
Yeah, I think in a do or die last game, kind of similar to last night. Like, the Suns scored last night. It just wasn't enough. I think it'd be like that. I think that they're going to go out there, they're going to score, they're going to get past 100, and they're going to, you know, all that. But OKC is on a mission, and this is the last test. Like, they've passed all the litmus tests of a young team in the playoffs thus far, similar to how Minnesota passed the litmus test.
Yeah.
You go and you win your games at home, you win that first game on the road, now you got to win a closeout game. Now you got to know how to close out. This is a big SGA game. SGA points over. SGA leads them in the closeout game. He's going for 35 tonight.
I think he'll end up with 30 and change, but I think they win this game comfortably.
Yeah, so. Just five cents of change. Whoa, where'd you go? Oh, okay. All right, it's just me now. So, SGA, I'm on SGA right now. What is his points prop officially at? I'm going to ladder him up to the 35. That's probably not even that much for a referral. He's probably, well, he has a scoring, actually. So maybe, well, quote unquote, not scoring. But let's see. His points prop is at 27.5. Yeah, so 35 is a nice little juicy price. I can ladder SGA 27.5 up to 30.5 here. 35.5 here. All right. I really want to tell you that we should just get all aboard the Larry Nance train. Like, I really, really want to tell you to do that. However, the issue with that is I have no idea what the Pelicans are doing with Jonas Valanciunas. Can somebody, like, did he get hurt? Did he get hurt? Why did he not come back in the second half? He played 12 minutes in that game. I mean, defensively, they were getting cooked and they were getting torched, and that would make sense. But, like, what's stopping them from playing him minutes this game, not playing minutes this game? Like, if Larry Nance is getting close to 30 minutes, then, yeah, I think Larry Nance double-double is back in play. I talked about it. I said I wanted to take him for a double-double when he was back at home. And at 9 and 13, he was 1 point away. First of all, he had 7 points very early in that game, just to let you know. And so maybe we – I don't want to fade Jonas by taking his under, because at the end of the day, bigs – like, I have you ever bet on a big under in rebounds or something, and then you look in the first quarter, he has 7 rebounds, and you're just like, ah. Like, I don't want to – I don't want any problems with the under. But I think I'll just back Larry Nance and just say if – Valanciunas doesn't get many minutes in this situation, Larry Nance is going to be the benefactor of all those minutes. So I have his rebounds prop here at, oh, wow. Is Larry Nance rebounds not up? Does anybody see a line on Larry Nance rebounds? I see his points. I don't see his rebounds. Nance points is at 7.5 minus 128. I see here. I don't see a line on his rebounds. That's crazy. All right. Well, somebody let me know if you see that. That they, I feel like they're nervous because they think he's going to get the double-double too. It's cool. It's all right. Let's see what the chat's talking about here. I saw Trey Murphy points. Yeah, I'm all over Trey Murphy points and threes. Because if Zion, not Zion, if B.I. is not going to be a real basketball player, if C.J. McCollum's not going to be a real basketball player, then I'm 100% going to assume that Trey Murphy is going to be a real basketball player. So I'll take Trey Murphy points. G-Man said Zion over 23.5. PB&J's, I'll take the over. I think PB&J is actually a pretty bad sandwich, but, you know, it's y'all world. But I think PB&J is a pretty bad sandwich. Let's see. Zion 10 cups of gumbo. Y'all are ridiculous. Oh, feels like horrible question. Oh, yeah. I got to bring that back. Let's see here. What'd you say? Oh, okay. Willie Green. All right. Shea first quarter points. Yeah, I do agree with Shea first quarter points. I think he could actually have. And I don't think he's had that really big first quarter. I feel like he's had some big second, like first halves, but I don't know if he's had that really, really big first quarter. I could see an easy 10 for Shea in the first quarter of this game because I think he's going to be aggressive and they understand the situation they're in. They're trying to get the rest too. Like at the end of the day, they're trying to get the rest too. This OKC team came into the playoffs a little banged up. So if they can get some extra time and they play the winner of the Mavs and Clippers, if I'm not mistaken. Somebody correct me on that if I'm wrong. But they play the winner of the Mavs and Clippers. That series looked like it's going 7. So if you can get as much rest as possible, absolutely do that. All right. I think I'm about done. Just going to go ahead and let you know. We're going to sweep today. I have the sweep. Got my broom here. We're ready to go. And a sweep of OKC to get it done as the one seed. All right. Let's see here. Next game up on the docket, we have the Los Angeles Lakers. Los Angeles Lakers on the road going to play the Denver Nuggets. Denver's laying 7.5 here. 217 is the total. Actually opened up at 217.5. It went down half a point. Injury report for these two teams, and I have for the Los Angeles Lakers, Jared Vanderbilt, questionable. You got Cam Reddish is out, and for the Nuggets, Jamal Murray. Whoa, that is a big one. Jamal Murray is questionable with the calf injury, and Reggie Jackson is probable. Murray was nursing his calf injury in the fourth quarter of that game. So questionable. We'll see if he plays. If he plays, does it get re-aggravated? I don't know. So, Lakers, the Lakers can't have a reverse sweep. They already won a game. All right, man. So here's the thing. And the Jamal Murray injury popping up does play a part. Because I think that the bench is, if Jamal Murray doesn't play, that means that's more time for Reggie Jackson, and Reggie Jackson is a cancer. So that's why I'm concerned there. However, I understand narratives, and I understand that people are seeing Jamal Murray as questionable, and the entire Lakers faithful are betting the Lakers on the money line tonight. 100%. I believe it. They said Jamal Murray's not playing. We have a chance to win this on the road. We go back home, defend home court, blah, blah, blah. And I understand it. As somebody that picked, I picked Denver for the series. Never mind. But still, I understand it. Here's the issue I have with that. Over the past 2 years, the Lakers have showed us in every situation, almost every situation, except the games that they either got blown out or this game that they just played. They have shown us multiple times that they are going to get out with the lead against Denver. They're going to look good. So much so that you might even question the Lakers getting a win. And then at some point during that second half, it's all going to come tumbling down. The box is going to fall off the shelf. Everything's going to spill over. And they're going to lose. So here's how I have it. The Lakers are going to get out early. Look at David from Toronto already on my side. I see you. Lakers are going to get out early. Denver's going to win the game. Halftime, full time. David from Toronto's telling me get 5-1 Lakers money line in the first half. Denver to win the game. And I also feel like that's why I'm taking Lakers +7.5 here, because the Lakers have shown us time and time again how they intend on playing the series. At least 5 times, I believe. I can go back and count, but I'm pretty sure it's at least 5 times where they have shown us that they are going to get out. They're going to make us think they're going to win the game. And then Denver's going to do enough and they're going to blow the game in the end. And Jokic and Denver's going to ride off to the sunset. So even with or without Murray, I think that's the game script for the night. Lakers get out early. I'll probably have a play on Lakers first half, and I do like Lakers +7.5, but I think Denver's going to win the game, and I'm going to wait for a live number on Denver, get them at plus money, and I'm going to take them to win the game. Scott, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks. I probably agree with you with the sense of taking the Lakers early. Murray, even if he does play, he's been terrible efficiency-wise in the series. So you can argue that him actually playing on a bad calf isn't too surprising based on how bad his shooting numbers have actually been. I'm going to lean Lakers in this one at about 7.5. I think that line's too big. The Lakers have still led the majority of these games. They've just been really bad at choking them away. So this line still feels disrespectful to me. I know Joker's incredible. He had an insane stat line last game. You could argue some stat padding in there, but the point is that I thought AD outplayed him for about 3 quarters. I thought AD was great. He's been great the entire series. LeBron had a solid performance. He also had some stat padding in that direction to end up with about 30 points. But the point is, I do think that AD has been really, really consistent, which was the main question mark that we had about AD based on his playoff performances over the last few years. And if AD is going to be that good on the rebound, on the boards, and that good defensively, they can pull this off. I think the Lakers might win this game, actually, depending on if Denver actually shows any sense of urgency or not. Denver looks like they were playing game 4 in slow motion, like it was a scrimmage. Mm-hmm. And then they realized when they were down 15 in the third quarter, oh, we got to try now. And then it was too late at that point. So maybe Denver for once gets out to a decent start. Maybe. I can't back it because I haven't seen it yet. So give me the Lakers early, as you said. People will be on the Lakers halftime, Nuggets full-time. I don't hate it again, but I think the Lakers actually have a shot to win this game. So I'll go Lakers first half money line, and I think that the Lakers maybe can pull this off. So, yeah, I'm not saying they're going to come back from 3-0 down, but they have a shot to extend the series. So I think the Lakers are the only side for me with the actual spread. I can't take Denver. Maybe it's a step up a spot where Murray's banged up and other guys step up, who are the other guys? You're looking at Gordon, who had, a great game in game three, because they didn't guard a back cut. The Lakers didn't guard a single back cut. He had a bunch of dunks. He can't really shoot. Porter Jr. has been incredible. He's been great this series. What do you got? You got Reggie Jackson? You're going to throw in Peyton Watts? Like, what offensive weapons do you have besides relying on Porter to hit a bunch of threes and Gordon backdoor cuts and offensive rebounding? I don't know if you have much. Caldwell Pope threes as well, but there's a lot of question marks now because Murray opens up a lot of stuff for other guys in the offense as well, even with the pick and roll game. So, yeah, I'm going to lean Lakers here. I think 7 is an insane spread. I'll take the 7.5.
All right. I'm glad we're in agreement there. That was actually like picture perfect. You didn't even hear half of what I said. That was actually picture perfect. We think the Lakers are going to get out early and, you know, at least at the very least cover the game.
I think they might win.
Yeah, you went as far to say they might win, but they might. Yeah, pretty much.
All it takes is one. You know, you finally got.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah, you got it off. You got it off your back. Finally, 1-1 streak is over. Maybe got some confidence. Who knows?
All right, so. Let's see here.
And even the last game, game two against Denver, Nuggets won on that Murray buzzer beater, but the Lakers did lead by 20 in that game. Like, I think they could handle the altitude for a decent portion of it. I know they fell apart down the stretch because LeBron missed an open three-pointer, but still, the Lakers are up 20. Like, they've looked pretty good in altitude, all things being considered. They just had a couple of really bad moments in the third quarter, especially, and a late fourth. But I don't know, it feels disrespectful.
All right. Here we go. Total sitting at 217. It's gone down half a point.
I'm going to lean under.
I think I am, too.
The issue for Denver in the series, despite being up 3-1, this team can't shoot from three. Porter's made most of their three-pointers. Nobody else on the team get a shot from the outside. Joker's made a couple. He doesn't attempt many, though.
Yeah, so, KCP hasn't been real good, has he?
He was good in game one. And then after that, KCP kind of fell off a cliff. But I'm going to lean under. I think the Lakers, from what we saw in the first two games in Denver, the second halves were really ugly from both sides. And I could see this being a very physical game. The games in L.A. were more on the high-scoring side. The Lakers offensively were very solid in Game 4. Game 3 landed 217. That was a bunch of garbage. He had a bunch of free throws at the end, and Reeves might have had the over because he hit that 35-footer and then fouled Gordon again at the end to send the game over. So that game should have went under. But I'm going to lean under in this game. I think if I'm picking the Lakers, I'm kind of daring Denver's offense without Murray looking 100%. To actually have guys step up, and I think that can cause some problems. So I'm actually going to lean under in this game.
It'd have to be KCP that steps up. I mean, he had 14 last game, 2 for 3 from three, but if he doesn't, I mean, Michael Porter Jr. has had the matchup. He's had 15 plus in every game. He's had 15, yes, 19, 22, 20, and 17.
I've given Porter Jr. so much crap over the years. He's actually been fantastic. He's turned himself into a much better player. I'll give him props. He's become a lot better.
I wonder what a Michael Porter Jr. top point scorer pays.
Do you want his rebounds in that with that? Because he's had a couple double-doubles in the series.
Yeah. No, I mean, his rebounds was at 7.5 plus money last game. That was stealing.
What do you have? He had 10 in the end?
Yes, he had 10 in the end. It was stealing. Oh, it was 7.5 plus money. I remember because I was staring at it for a while and I ended up taking it. 7.5 plus money. What's it? What is his top point score?
It's going to be a nice price. If I had to guess, I'm going to guess 20 to 1.
16. Okay. Well, I didn't shop around. I'm not going to lie. I only looked at one spot. So
that's fine. I was going to guess 20, so.
Okay. I'm sold on Michael Porter Jr.
Okay.
If anybody has a game, it's going to be him. AD, I'm waiting for underdogs to just go ahead and drop the first half number. I think I would prefer the first half number. Because AD's...
My first half for player props? I don't see that. I usually only see...
Underdog. Underdog has it.
Underdog's the only platform that I think has first half stuff.
Yeah, Underdog has it. They'll have... Because I played SGA a number of times over the course of the year.
But I'm saying, I think all the other sports books have quarter. They don't have half. Yeah. Which is another reason why I should get Underdog.
But that's why I went ahead and looked up the first quarter stats. Because I'm like, hey, first quarter stats probably are all right. The first half stats are okay. AD is fourth in the league in first quarter scoring, 9 points per game. His line is sitting here at 8 first quarter points. We know AD as he's going to absolutely show up in the first half of the game. And then we're probably about 50-50 if he's going to show up in the second half. But we're going to have him in the first half, 100%. So Jokic actually has really good first halves as well.
He's going to have to if Murray's banged up. He's going to have a crazy game.
So those are two plays for me because both of them are at 8. And I think both of them could have 10-point quarters to start the game because this is that big. The Nuggets want to go ahead and get this thing done and over with, and the Lakers are fighting for their lives. So let's say Jokic versus Davis, first quarter, 8 points, higher or over on both.
Yeah, I'm into that.
All right.
I mentioned before Davis rebounds at 13.5, I think. He's had 14 plus in 3 of the 4 games. He had 20 plus last game. AD was great. Just simply put, he was incredible in game 4. I think he's in line to put up a good showing here, and it's correlated. I am leaning to the under, so I think it's going to be an ugly game. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but I think it's going to be a bit more of a rock fight, so I see more rebounds being available.
All right. That's it. Got anything else?
Trying to think if there's anything else. I wanted to take a Justin Holiday under because I think he's atrocious, but I didn't see a line on him. He might be my new fade for Denver in this series. Guy just jacks up some of the ugliest three-pointers you've ever seen. Doesn't even look at the rim half the time. And I think he played like 4 minutes last game. So he might end up getting like a little bit of run, but I don't think you can actually use him. I think Holiday's been really bad in this series. So
especially if Murray doesn't play.
Yeah.
Pretty much. We all think that he's going to play, but like if there's a chance he doesn't, kind of opens things up and makes you.
I like Murray under in this game. I like 23.5, 24.5 points. I think that number's too high. He's gone under in every game of the series, and he potentially aggravates it mid-game, goes to the locker room. You have an under on your hands. And
he's at 22 in 3 games of this series. I didn't even realize that. He's at exactly
22 in 3 games, and I think he had 20 in the other
one. Yeah, 20 is that last one.
The point is he has gone under this number in every game, and now he's got a calf injury that could maybe limit him in this matchup. So I like Murray under for points. I think that one's too high.
All right. Let's go ahead and close things out here. Lock, dog, underdog lineup, and we are out of here. For my lock.
Cancun?
OKC. Yeah. Galveston.
Galveston,
yes.
It was a stopover, and they lost their tickets in between the stopover, so they ended up in Galveston.
they told them they was going to Cancun. They was like,
Cancun. They went to get a sandwich.
Dirty this time of year.
Yeah. And they missed their flights, and now they're just stuck in Galveston. So.
All right. OKC, laying 5. Lock it up. I'm going to take OKC to get this done. They sweep, they cover. New Orleans is checked out. But New Orleans does make it fun for a couple of quarters, and then OKC just pulls away. They
one run, and I think the Pelicans roll over. So I agree.
All right. For the dog.
Lakers first half?
Yeah, I could go Lakers first half.
That's what I thought about.
Plus 175.
It's a great price. I mean, they've led the first half in every game of the series.
Yeah, screw it. Lakers first half.
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right, that's my dog. Lakers first half. Plus 175 is really a nice price. So that's it.
It is. All right, so for my lock, I think I am going to go Lakers first half, but I think I'm going to go with the spread in this one. Chance maybe it's tied. Maybe Denver gets out to a decent start because they finally stop playing with their food. But the spread for the first half is still at 4.5. That's too big. I think the Lakers are going to hang in there, maybe get a one possession game to end the first half. But Give me the Lakers plus 4.5 in the first half. Murray maybe tries to, you know, play through the calf, doesn't play well. They're going to have to reinvent their offense a bit early before Joker decides to finally take over the game. But give me the Lakers first half plus 4.5 is my lock. For my dog, I'm going to go back to that Drew Holiday prop. Give me Holiday, quintuple single. Give me the 1 point, one rebound, one assist, one steal, one block. I think that he's in line to do that again. Done in five straight games, including the regular season, is done in every game of this series, and I think you're looking at a pretty good price of about plus 140. So give me Holiday quintuple single at plus 140 as my dog.
All right. Underdog. Let's get an underdog lineup in here.
We already mentioned a couple first quarter or first half lines, which we could just take if you want.
Very much.
If you're interested.
Let's see here. I think Jaylen Brown's line is really too low.
Okay.
I don't think
he has been very solid.
I don't think he's 5 points worse than Jason Tatum. Okay. He's gotten over this line in all but the first game, and that was a 20-point blowout. I expect this game to be much closer. I think Jaylen Brown, pretty solid, 21.5 higher. Let's see. What else are we interested in?
What's up, Ant? How you doing, Ant? Ant says he's the best player in the league.
Who is that?
I don't know, but I appreciate I appreciate the effort, you know. We need somebody else to like create a YouTube name where it's just somebody like in Cancun. Just like
you remember back in the day where if some object or something went viral, there was a Twitter account associated with that object or thing in like 5 minutes.
It was a simpler time back then.
Like LeBron's headband had a Twitter account.
It was great. It was great stuff.
Bobby Shmurda's hat had a Twitter account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good times. Good times. All right. We can go with AD or Jokic first quarter. I like those. Which one, if you had to pick one?
Well, I mean, if you want to stick with the Lakers getting off to a good start, you want to take AD?
Let's do it.
Yep.
AD higher. 8 points in the first quarter. Mike Porter Jr., close it out.
Sure. You want the rebounds?
It's at 19.5. Rebounds is at 8.5. 1.05x spicy. 19.5 for the points.
Do you want to go Porter's double-double for extra spice?
Is it up there? Oh, yeah, 1.25x.
You want it?
Yeah, why not? Sure. Let's do it. All right. Michael Porter Jr. for a double-double, 1.25x spicy, higher. We have Anthony Davis, 8 points in the first quarter, higher. And we have Jaylen Brown, 21.5 points for the game, higher. That is going to give you an expected standard payout of 7.5x. $100 gets you $750. All right. Is there, Scott, anything else for the people before we get up out of here?
No. Once again, we could, in theory, see two more series end tonight. So if you find a matchup you like, savor it and make sure you make the most of it because you might not get many more games. You might not. So see what happens.
All right. Other than that, I have nothing else to say, nothing else to do. No other way of ending the podcast. Wait, make sure that you use that code NBASGPN at Underdog. Make sure you give us a 5-star rating review and make sure all you guys like the video. Like the video. 69 people. Nice. 69 people on YouTube right now. Like the video on your way out. Other than that, I have nothing else to say, nothing else to do. No other way of ending the podcast. Just going to end like this. We are out of here.